Greetings, my name is Yitzhak Et Shalom. Welcome back to Shnaim Mikra, the series sponsored by the Orthodox Union and hosted at OU.org. We are now studying Parashat Vayigash, and as is our custom in this series, Shnaim Mikra, each podcast is devoted to the study of one of the aliyot of the current parasha. We are now on the final podcast of Parashat Vayigash, looking at the seventh aliyah. And now we're going to hear, from here to really to the end of the parasha, the story of Yosef's economic recovery program, if you will, for Egypt. In Perek Mem Zayin, Pasuk Yod Aleph, Vayoshev Yosef et aviv et achav. So Yosef settled his father and his brothers into Goshen. Vayiten lahem achuzah be'eretz Mitzrayim. He gave them land. Metav ha'aretz be'eretz Ramses, the land of Ramses. By the way, the name Ramses means in Egyptian the son of Ra, who was the god of the sun god of Egypt. Kasher tziva Faro, just like Paro commanded, and now we find out that Eretz Goshen is somehow called Eretz Ramses. Vechalkel Yosef Aviv et Achav, he took care of them, fed them. Veid kol beit aviv, lechem lefi ataf. That's a critical point, because it means that each child born means another set of food stamps or another chit in a credit for bread, as opposed to what's happening in the rest of the country. And notice the juxtaposition: lechem lefi ataf, v'lechem ein b'chol aretz. In other words, when it comes to Yosef and his family, the more kids they have, the better it is for them because they get more food. V'lechem ein b'chol aretz. In the meantime, throughout the land, there's no food. Ki chaver arav meod. The famine is getting worse. Vatela, Eretz Yitzroim, Eretz Kanan, Ne'arav, they're collapsing. And it's happening in Canaan as well. V'alaket Yosef et kol hakesef nitzav Eretz Yitzroim, Eretz Kanan. And so it sounds like Canaan is under the Egyptian hegemony, and we know it to be the case during this time. And so therefore all of the financial developments in Mitzrayim are in effect in Canaan as well. And therefore, v'shever Shahim shovrim. All of the food that they were buying, Yosef is the mashbir la'amaretz, all of the shever that they're buying, all the food they're buying, means more money coming into the coffers. Vayvei Yosef et hakesef beit ha'paro, and he brought it into the treasuries. Vayitom ha'kesef eretz Yitzroim eretz Kanan, and then people ran out of money. Vayavo kol Mitzrayim el Yosef l'marvalanu lachem v'laman amut negdecha. Feed us, otherwise we're going to die, and what will be the point of us dying? Ke'afes kasef, because we're all out of money. In other words, we can't pay you anymore because we've run out of money, and we have no source for we have no source as farmers to then gain money so that we can buy more food. So Yosef said, "So give me your animals. I will give you food in place of the animals." Now, there's something a negative financial draw in this, in that the purpose of the food is both to feed the animals and also to plant when you need the animals to plow. So by giving the animals for the food is much less value to them. But they had no choice, so they brought the animals to Yosef. So Yosef gave them food for the horses and for the flock and for the cattle and for the donkeys. And so they had food for their cattle for that year. But that year was up, and there's still no more rain. The famine is still continuing. We can't lie to you. We're all out of, we can't give me any more animals. We can't move food or animals. All we've got left is our bodies and our land. So either kill us or take our land, but that's all we got. Lama namut leinecha. Again, why should we die in front of you? Gam anachu gam ad matenu kne otanu ad matenu balachem. And notice that what they're saying is that if our land dies, it's like we die. And our land dies if we don't have anything to plant. And we don't have anything to plant if you don't give us wheat. So he said, buy us and our land. We and our land are tied up together. Notice three times in these two psukim. Nothing is left besides our bodies and our land. Why should we and our land die in front of you? Buy us and our land, balechem. And we and our land will be servants to Pharaoh. and give us seed so that we'll live. So we'll live and the land won't be destroyed. Five times within these two psukim, four times in this one pasuk, we see that the land and the people are tied inextricably together. And the point being that why should we die, we being us and the land, give us and the land something, buy us and the land as your slaves, and give us food so that we'll live and the land won't die. So what does Yosef do? Vayikin Yosef called not Mitzrayim the Pharaoh. He bought all of the land. Kimachu Mitzrayim ish sadeu kichazak aleim ra'av. Everybody sold their own field. Vatiaretz the Pharaoh, and suddenly the land becomes the Pharaoh, but the people don't belong to the land. Vata'am Eviro told everyone, what did he do with the people? He moved them to cities. So in other words, all of the rural population that felt inextricably tied to their land is now being moved off the land into cities. From one edge of Egypt to the other. In other words, population transfer. The only people who were able to keep their land were the Kohanim of Egypt. Interesting difference is that it's Dafka, the Kohanim among Am Yisrael, don't have land. They had a law, they had a right. Now, chok here doesn't really mean a right. Rather, it means they had a stipend. They had a certain amount of food they got all the time. And so, therefore, they were fed. And since they were fed, they didn't have the problem of having to sell their land. They didn't have to sell their land because they got food anyways. Just like Achei Yosef got from Yosef. I have now acquired you and your land. However, and which is what they asked, however, that's not what happened. He acquired them, but he acquired them by moving them off of their land, and he acquired the land for Paro. So it wasn't as if they were still with their land, but they were now under a master. They were off of their land, and the land had a master. Here's some zera, plant the ground. And a very nice deal. All you have to do is give 20% tax to Pharaoh of Arbaya. And the other 80%, the other four parts, will be for seed and for food and for what you need in the house and for your children. It's everything you want. And their response is, you've given us life. They don't protest about being taken off the land. And we will be slaves to Paro. And Yosef made it a rule that evidently lasted through the times of Matan Torah that everybody has to give a 20% tax to Paro, except for the land of the Kohanim. Now, everything in this Aliyah, except for the first Pasuk, has been about Yosef and the Egyptians. Yosef and his family, our family, isn't mentioned here at all. Only in the last pasuk do we come back. They held on to the land, and they did very well. They had lots of kids. Of course they had lots of kids, because the more kids they have, the more food they get. And so you take a look at the first pasuk in this aliyah, and the last pasuk on the aliyah, and they mirror each other, and everything in the middle is about the Egyptians. But if you take a look at it here, you'll see something that sounds brilliant on Yosef's part, and yet, if you think about it, carries with it the seeds of the terrible tragedy that's going to befall Am Yisrael in two or three generations, which is the servitude. Because imagine this, you have foreigners coming into the land, a foreigner comes in, becomes king of Egypt, or the regent, and his family comes in, and now what do we have in Egypt? These foreigners, these brothers and nephews and grandnephews of Yosef are all eating well. They're comfortable. They've got their own land. Nobody wants to have anything to do with them. And they are lords in Egypt. In the meantime, all the people of Egypt themselves are being moved off of their land and are finding it very difficult to survive. So ultimately, what happens in situations like that? There's a revolution. And it's no wonder that several generations later, it was easy for Paro to convince his people that they needed to be a change in who was running things, and that these people who had been previously welcome guests in Egypt now should be made to feel very unwelcome. Take a look at the Ramban in Psukim Chet through Yod in Perak Aleph of Shemot, and you'll see what I mean. We have completed our study of Parshat Vayigash, and we have seen a scene that begins with Safnat Paneach, the Egyptian regent, finally being having Yehuda plead before him for Binyamin's life, all the way until we see here the tremendous success that Yosef and his family had in Egypt, as against the backdrop of the terrible tragedy of the famine that was affecting the entire area, and that, of course, was planting the seeds, pun very much intended, for the future tribulations. But for right now, the family is doing quite well. And so have we, Baruch Hashem, in our study of Parshat Vayigash. It has been a pleasure to study with you, and I hope that you all continue following our study of Parshat HaShavua on Shnayim Mikra, and I'll be joining you in a number of weeks for one of the upcoming Parshiot. Shabbat Shalom.